Hi, I'm Max Triano. I'm 13 years old. Today is December 26th, 2018, and I'm speaking with my grandfather, David Lupo, in Falmouth, Massachusetts. And so, Papa, you were serving in Vietnam in the 70s, and one year you were trying to get home for Christmas, right?
Not entirely, Max. I was actually in Kansas at the time, and I had just finished jet mechanic school in the Air Force, and I hadn't been home for Christmas yet, and I got orders to go over to Okinawa before I went. Initially, I was supposed to go from Okinawa to Vietnam, but they said, you better take leave now because you won't get a leave later. And so I decided to go home for Christmas, and I had 30 days leave. And what we did in those days, this was 1965, you went down to our own air base, and you just asked the operations officer, do you have any room on a flight heading toward the East Coast, Massachusetts? Anywhere on the East Coast was fine, because once you got there, then you go into that operation and you say, got anybody going to Massachusetts? And if there was, you jumped on a plane and they let you go. But you had to fly in your dress blue uniforms. And sure enough, there was a plane going to Washington, D.C. And it was a VIP flight. There was a bunch of officers, colonels, lieutenant colonels, full colonels. I think the lowest person on the totem pole was some captains, and they were flying the plane. And this was a C-130, which is normally a transport plane, but they had this thing all rigged up with couches, and it's basically these guys were going for a party in Washington, D.C. So I got on with them. And of course, I was sitting up where the pilot was and the crew chief, the mechanic in charge of that plane was, along with two pilots. And we took off out of Richards Gabor Air Force Base in Kansas, right on the Kansas-Missouri line, and started heading toward Washington, D.C. Now, this is a propeller plane, so it took a little while to get there, but we got about 150 miles from Washington, D.C., and I got a feeling something was going wrong because the mechanic for the airplane was called up to the cockpit, and he went up there, and I couldn't hear what they were saying, but something was wrong. But in the meantime, all of these colonels in the back of the plane with their couches and big armchairs and so on, they were playing cards and they were drinking, and some of them had a lot to drink, too much to drink. But the mechanic came back from the cockpit and said to me, I'm going to need your help. We, one of the landing gear is stuck. A light went on in the cockpit, said it's not going to go down. So he said, just strap in, because the pilots are going to try to shake it down by wiggling the plane back and forth and going up and down as fast as they could. It would be like flying through a thunderstorm that only 10 times as bad. And so I said, well, this is going to be interesting. And they did it, and they started it. And the plane is going left to right and up and down and just jiggling and quite dive down, you know, 200 or 300 feet, and then fly back up again. And I happened to look in the back of the plane, and all these colonels that had been doing all this drinking and playing cards were starting to turn a little different color, and they were kind of green. And then all of a sudden, people were getting sick and vomiting all over the place. And they had bags and trash bags, and there was booze being spilled all over the place. And the pilot couldn't get it down. Could not get the wheel to come down. So we're probably around 50 miles from Danny Andrews Air Force Base in D.C., Maryland, actually. So the crew chief says to me, let's see if we can crank it down manually. And they have a panel in the back of the plane where you have a special wrench, and you put this wrench through this little hole, and you get a hold of this nut, and you can turn it, and it will crank the landing gear down. And so we tried it, but it didn't work. So we took off this big panel, about 4 feet in diameter, and all of a sudden, I find myself looking out into the sky at this landing gear. And it's about a little over an arm's length away from us. And so the crew chief says, he tied this rope around his waist and gave the other end of the rope to me, and said, you hang on to this rope. And so I tied it to a parachute netting and held on to it too. And he was leaning outside the airplane with a sledgehammer and was banging on this landing gear. And he got it to move a little bit. But this is in December, right around December 20th. And it's quite cold at 10,000 feet when you're hanging outside an airplane and it's going about 125 miles an hour. So he came back in and said, gave me the hammer and said, you try it. And I'm 19 years old. And of course, I'm not afraid of anything, so sure, I'll try it. Tied the rope around my waist and started stretching out into the sky with this hammer and started pounding away at this landing gear, and it wasn't gonna budge. And my fingers were getting cold. I had to go back inside. So I got back inside, and the crew chief said, this is not gonna work. So we put the panel back on, because the whole airplane was getting cold now, and all these drunken colonels that were there were complaining that it was cold. And we went back up to the cockpit and told the pilot, that it's not going to come down. So he said, all right, tell everybody to prepare for a crash landing. So we went back and we told all these colonels to prepare for a crash landing. And so they just did the best they could because they were all so drunk they couldn't really do anything. One guy had pillows all over him. And he went back to the cockpit and we said, they're as secure as they're gonna get. And the pilot said, well, we just declared an emergency and we were gonna go into Andrews, but they told us, could you hold off for 15 minutes because President Johnson's gonna take off in 15 minutes. And if you come in, we don't want any wreckage on the runway. So we had to fly around for another 15 minutes until President Johnson took off. And then we went in with the right landing gear down, the left landing gear was up, and there was a nose wheel too. I mean a tail wheel for the back of the airplane. And I remember going to the back door of the airplane and tying a seatbelt around me into this pipe that they used to secure cargo when it was used for a cargo plane. And I looked out through this little window and there was about 2 feet of foam on the runway. And we came in, this is this white soapy looking stuff. And we went in and landed on the right front wheel and the back wheel touched. And that pilot kept that left wing up as long as he possibly could and slowed down to about 40 miles an hour. And he couldn't hold it anymore and then he dropped the left wing and the plane started to cartwheel and spun around 2.5 times and came to a stop on the grass next to the runway. And before it even stopped, it just barely came to a stop and I threw open the door and jumped. And I landed and fell over face first in all this foam. And I have my blue uniform on, and I'm just covered like a snowman now. And of course, right after me, all these drunken colonels came flying out too. And so there was probably 20 of us looked like we fell into a bucket of soap suds. And so I had to stay at Andrews Air Force Base and get all cleaned up before I could get another plane to come back to Boston. But we made it, and nobody got hurt. I think one of the officers broke his wrist, but he didn't even know he broke it at the time because he was drunk. And that was my experience trying to get home in 1965.
There you go.
That was it.
It's quite a story.
It was fun and exciting, and I wasn't afraid at all. Now, if I get up on a ladder and look down, I'm afraid of height now because I'm 74 years old now.
Yeah.
So.
Well, thanks.
Yeah. A lot of experience there.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that was the end of that Kansas City experience.